The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
By the way, speaking of NASCAR, did you see NASCAR put out a statement today? Banning the Confederate flag from race events.
Well, there you go.
What?
Wow.
Well, what if you're wearing the Confederate flag as a bikini top? Will that be...
See, I think that should be okay.
What are they going to do?
Ma'am? It depends on the...
We're going to need you to hand that over. Oh, well, you know what it's going to look like.
Well, good for them.
If you're a Major League Baseball player, would you rather play 89 games at 75% of your salary or 48 games at 100% of your salary?
See, I'm the wrong guy to ask because I just want to get my ass back on the field, and I wouldn't worry too much about what I was making. And I think the fact that they just keep going back and forth and back and forth, in the end, I think there's enough owners that just don't want to have a season. And because of that, I don't think they will have one.
I don't think they will.
Them into that because there's too many owners will say, hey, man, I don't want to deal with this.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. Send a message. Your man Aaron will read it. There's Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Aaron is Blitz. At Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. And if you missed the first 2 hours, that's some of what you missed. But I want to address a couple texters. And I'm not ripping into them or anything. It's people.
You're just talking, man.
I'm gonna respond. That's all. People voicing their opinions. This is a day I really wish you would tell me to stay 6:06. Yeah, that was a good one. That one sounded like you've been holding it for almost an hour and a half. Well, no, it was. What was the first one? What did you write it down?
5:24.
Okay, so 30 minutes barely. Come on, man.
I finished off that Red Bull. That's why I chucked it down.
I really wish. This is a day I wish somebody would tell me to stick to sports because this comes up every time we talk politics because half the people who are new really don't know how we do things. So I'm going to explain this to a couple people. You're part of the problem, Fred. By not voting, you were saying you like the way things are. Not true, but okay. Go out and vote for another party or write in a name. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That way we have more selections next time around. Vote for better senators, governors, etc. All right, all due respect.
And you will vote for other things besides
president. And I want to make this really clear because clearly this guy hasn't listened very long. When it comes to local elections, state elections, I do more research than anybody. I will research every judge because those people are making a difference in our immediate lives. Who we vote in at city council, who we vote in as judges. Those are important elections. They're a lot more important than two windbags from two crappy-ass parties that have nothing to do with real people. And so, yeah, I spend a lot of time on that because it makes a difference. To write in some name for president is meaningless. You might as well not vote, and so it's my choice not to. So you can call me part of the problem, but I would challenge you to go and pay attention to your local elections and quit caring as much about these because these guys aren't dealing with this on a day-to-day basis. The people you elect in your community are, people you elect in your state. And that doesn't mean we have great options there either. But, that's my humble response. And then, wait, Fred, you want a more moderate option, and then you say you like Warren. I think Warren would make a good president because she would compromise. Do I like her politics? Absolutely not. There's not a single one of these clowns who I agree with. And if you agree with somebody 100%, you're lying. Or you're just being a lemming. Nobody agrees 100%. Do I think she would be a better president than a lot of these cats out here, even though
these cool cats and kittens?
Yeah, I think, Yeah, I do. So, and thank you, 979. Stick to sports. You're welcome, Fred. So,
got it.
So, 409 says, you don't understand how the show works. If you don't like what I said, I was obviously joking. Fred and Trump probably. Did I say anything about joking? Nope. So, yeah. Anyway, I just want to respond to that. And if you think I'm part of the problem, cool.
You are part of the
problem. But see, here it is. If it's because I won't vote for your guy,
that's why
I'm part of the problem, because you can't sell me on voting for your guy. Because your guys suck. They do. Both sides. Both parties suck. I'm sorry. And yeah, when I go back and look at how many I voted for over the years, presidents in pretty much every election, there's more R's than D's. What does that make me? You guys won't let me be a Republican because you guys have taken it off into such a religious right thing that it's embarrassing. And I damn sure ain't doing anything with you Democrats.
Except sell your vote to them.
Yeah. It was a one-time deal. It was a one-time deal.
Let's talk to Ricky. Hello, Ricky.
Hey, appreciate you guys taking my call. I've tried to call like a million times in my life and always wind up having to hang up. But so I just wanted to see, in your opinion, you guys obviously know a lot better than I will, but the dumbest conversations, because obviously without sports, you know, that's a makeshift a lot, for lack of a better term, that have come up during Rona. I'm going to give you guys a few of mine, and just as a preface, you know, I'm to and from and during lunch, so I really only get to listen to the guys in the morning, Palillo, and then you guys on the way home. But the guys in the morning, definitely when Rona started, Lance was going on, talking like an epidemiologist about how friction kills coronavirus, and that's the most important thing about washing your hands. I was laughing my ass off all the way to work. Charlie Palillo getting into the, 1950s, whatever, Brooklyn Dodgers versus Washington Senators baseball call of game 5 of the whatever CS, and talking about how it's one of the most iconic voices in sports history. And then for you guys, for sure, it was a couple weeks ago when Fred started talking about it was like physics and space and Stranger Things, and how he doesn't understand enough about sequences in time to know about how the Upside Down works. But anyway,
you like that conversation?
See, I told you somebody liked that conversation.
You liked that conversation?
Oh my God, I was laughing my ass off.
Ricky, Fred's a moron. He's fooling you.
I'm coming on. Oh, I'm thinking to myself, like, you know, and sadly, like, I'm dumb enough that I can relate to you. Everything you're saying makes perfect sense to me, but like, the majority of people out there, they're probably thinking, what the hell? So anyway, I'm going to hang up and listen. Appreciate it, guys.
All right, thanks, Ricky.
More alternate universe chat on the show. I think that's a good... I'm telling you, aliens and alternative universes are going to be our lawn talk. I'm going to try to sneak them in, and you're going to try to shoot it down every time.
All right.
I'm an ancient astronaut theorist, by the way. It's good stuff.
Shannon?
Hey, guys. On my way home, so bear with me on this one. Might be a long one. Fred, you had a personal choice to make. You had to choose on what may be the best option, even though you did not know the outcome. You could keep what you had, you could shave, or you can go to Dr. Linville. You made a choice in choosing what may be the best option. I'll let that lie.
Okay. Do you see how it relates?
No, I don't, but I appreciate the effort. I do.
What's this last call here, Aaron?
Yeah, that's somebody who's probably just listening. Yeah.
Okay.
Never mind.
Someone,
yeah. Okay. But, no, I get when you don't choose, you're making a choice as well. But, you know, until there's a party that... And what's so funny is everybody I know kind of feels exactly the same way about this, in that, you know, not, well, these guys don't represent me, but.
Did you see what Jameis Winston has to say?
Oh, no. What is
it? It's about football. It's not about.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
good.
It's not about politics. It's not about Black Lives Matter. Jameis Winston's talking football. Jameis Winston says, I know what I'm worth. And I know that this is maybe the greatest Jameis Winston quote of all time. And I know day in and day out, without publicly coming in and saying it, except he's about to, that historically I'm one of the best quarterbacks to play the game. How do you feel about that? Is he historically one of the best quarterbacks to play the game?
Well, how many guys have pulled off a 30-30?
One.
There you go. That explains it.
I will say, and he says, listen, he says he views the Saints opportunity as like a Harvard education at quarterback school, being able to play behind Drew Brees. But he said, my entire life I've been a winner. Little league football, middle school, high school, college. Obviously, the NFL is a little more difficult, but I've been a winner. I don't want to be viewed as a loser. I'm going to come. It's going to come. It's going to happen. This is something I've been fighting for my entire life, building up to this. If people think I'm just going to lay down and give up because of a few losing seasons, that's never going to be the case.
Well, I'll give him.
And I mean, he does have a nice track record. I mean, he won a national championship. He won a Heisman. He was a five-star recruit. I mean, he's an impressive football career. Rookie of the year, you know.
I actually like what I've heard from him, except for this. I like what I've heard from him for the reasons he went to New Orleans. To learn from Sean Payton, to learn from Drew Brees, to take a master's course, as he called it. That's the first time I've heard something remotely mature out of his mouth.
When he said, historically, I'm one of the best quarterbacks
not,
to play.
Not that. No. He just undid all that good stuff. Because I still think that's his biggest problem, is that he's always been immature. And I loved what he said when he went to the Saints. I'm like, okay, maybe this guy's finally growing up. Maybe not.
Oh. The Major League Baseball draft has begun, Fred.
Oh, has it?
The Tigers, with the first overall pick, have selected Spencer Torkelson out of Arizona State.
Ooh, Torkelson. That sounds...
He is a first baseman.
Yeah, that's supposedly the consensus number one guy. I just don't know that I could draft a Torkelson. Doesn't sound like a future MLB superstar to me.
Through 17 games, he'd hit six home runs and had 31 walks while hitting .340.
Is that good?
That's pretty good. Yeah, career 54 home runs at Arizona State. That's pretty good. 20 years old. That's probably a guy who it says here that he's not a great defensive player, but I mean, let's face it,
about defense.
When you're playing first base, it's what I tell my kid all the time, because my kid is like, for his age, he's an elite defensive player. And I tell him all the time, that doesn't matter. Like, if you don't hit, it doesn't really matter how good you are at defense when you play first base.
Yeah.
You want to be good at defense and not hit real well? Be a catcher.
Yeah.
That's what
you'll have a future at that. Yeah.
If you're a good defensive catcher and you don't hit, your coaches usually don't complain. But you play first base. And maybe if you're a great shortstop, at least in the old days, you could get away with it. Now, almost even shortstops, you got to be like A-Rod. But
there's still fewer of those that. But there's not a lot of Tim Bogars running around anymore either.
No, but there's not a lot of first basemen who have long Major League Baseball careers because how good they are defensively. That's not priorities.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Here we go. So put your best face on, everybody pretend you know this song. Everybody come hang. Let's go out.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Still Snoop Dogg and D.I. Guess who's back?
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. A couple things. Larry says, I have a 2021 senior potential D1, D2 prospect pitcher. Do you think the draft changes will flow down and cause less scholarships for high school players? Man, I don't know. I think if you see...
You want me to answer that?
Go ahead.
Yes. I hate to say it, but yes. A shortened draft this year means more high school kids that would have been drafted and possibly gone on to Major League Baseball will now be heading to college. And the rules are they've got to be there for a couple years now. So Yeah, it's gonna have an impact. There are more high level kids going to college this year to play baseball than normal because less of them have been drafted to play professionally.
Well, let's see how many programs actually come back next year.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of baseball programs that are just gone.
And I think that's going to be a factor as well, and those are scholarships that you won't have either. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a tighter market. 985 asks, has Fred checked out Unacknowledged yet? Yeah, I mentioned this the other day, and it kind of plays into some of the things that I talk about in media in general. And if you're not familiar with it, it was a documentary with the little quotes around it where finally there's proof that the government knows about aliens and that aliens exist. And so, I'm into this stuff, so I was excited about it. I'm like, okay, let's see this proof. This is cool. And the whole thing is just one guy basically saying, this guy told me this, and this guy told me this, and I have this piece of paper. And then there were a couple other guys who claimed, oh, yeah, well, this is all going on. That's not proof.
Right.
It's a bunch of guys that are just basically trying to explain away some things. So I was disappointed in that, and I was disappointed that it devolved into a secret government organization, intelligence organization that's running the world and not allowing us to have alien technology. It's kind of like, okay. Yeah. So I won't say it was disappointing because any alien thing I'm going to consume, but it wasn't what it was promoted to be. It doesn't give actual proof. And it shows the same pictures that I've been looking at for years. But I'm curious if any other ancient astronaut theorists out there had the same thoughts about it. Have you watched the Epstein thing yet?
No, I haven't.
That needs to be on your list. But I kind of had some issues with that, too, though. So.
I'm almost through the wire, so I can get on to something new. I watched a movie last night.
Oh, really?
What did you watch? The Invisible Man.
When did I watch that? I can't remember.
What were your thoughts on it?
I don't remember because it was during a stretch where I was watching a bunch of movies and drinking a lot, so okay. I don't remember much about it.
I thought it was okay. The main actress, not attractive. And she's supposed to be like the trophy wife of some billionaire tech guy who's a pretty good looking dude, could probably have his pick of the litter. And she's not a real looker. And there's some just really unbelievable things that happen. But it's a sort of a horror movie, I guess.
Yeah.
It's not a gory movie by any stretch. It's more of a thriller than a horror movie, probably.
Okay.
But there's some stupid stuff going on in there. And even if a dude's invisible, like how many dudes ask, can you beat even when you're invisible? Like you're just a regular ass guy, but like when you're invisible, you're beating dudes up like you're John Jones. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, because basically if somebody gets an armbar on you or something, right, you're in trouble.
And he's like knocking dudes out with one punch and things like, I mean, it's okay. Hmm. But it's a decent movie.
Okay. I watched one that I'm surprised that I missed because it was a mafia movie and I didn't know it existed. So I saw it and it had De Niro in it and Tommy Lee Jones. And I can't remember the female, but she was famous. So I wound up watching it. It was called The Family.
Okay.
He's a mob boss who's ratted out a dude and is hiding out in a small town in France. And it turns out he's not the only one in the family who's a badass. The wife does all kinds of criminal stuff. The kids are basically criminals. And there's a really good shootout scene in it.
Okay.
So I'm going to give it a mafia thumbs up. I can't believe I haven't seen it.
The Tom Hardy Capone movie?
I have not.
Okay.
So
I'm curious on that one. I've seen it a couple times. I'm like, oh, maybe I should watch it, but I haven't.
You know, it is funny. A lot of these shows now that you're mentioning, the wife wasn't all that attractive. Have you noticed there's a lot more actresses out there that are just okay, like Mousy? I've seen a lot more of that, like the whole cast of Ozark.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess so. It just seems like, we're going for more depth and less, you know.
So I don't know.
I don't know if that's a bad thing, by the way, but I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, AJ, I don't know if this will persuade you to watch the Capone movie or not, but you know it's all about his fight with, like, syphilis and dementia.
Ooh.
After, like, that's what it is. It's after he got out of prison, his whole gangster
life.
It's
none of the gangster stuff. That actually makes it more interesting to me, honestly.
His mental deterioration and...
See, because that's a story that I've read about and seen the movies over and over and over again, but so that part would be interesting to me.
I mean, there probably are some gangster things of, like, you know, guys he had whacked, their kids come back and want revenge. I don't know, but I remember reading an article where somebody watched it and they're like, there was no, like, big shootouts or anything. And they were like, no, we wrote it to talk about the guy, you know, got out of prison. He had syphilis and his brain went to complete mush before he died.
I mean, I kind of know that story. His brain going to mush, is that really that interesting? I'm just asking.
I don't know. I mean, that's so, why I said
it. You know, if AJ's brain started going to mush, would it make for a good radio show? Probably not. Just me. 713-780-ESPN. When we come back from this next break, I've got something you're going to want to attend, AJ. It's one of the biggest parties of the year.
Okay.
And you know all about it because we've talked about it before. It's coming back. So when we come back, I'll tell you all about it.
All right.
So don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, so I promised you a quick update on something. What are you doing June 19th through the 21st?
I don't think I've got anything big going on. Is that a weekend?
It would be... Yeah, I guess it would be Friday through Sunday next week.
Yeah, I'll be coaching baseball.
Oh, that's too bad, because if you had $4,500, you could go to Sex Island, Las Vegas.
Ooh, this is not a time for that.
They promise weed, unlimited alcohol, and sex with two girls per day. We all know the Sex Island stories, but this is going to be in Nevada following a month of closure. So Sex Island will be reopening its doors in Las Vegas, and what it's advertised on the Good Girls Company website to take place that weekend, $4,500, and you'll be picked up at the airport and taken to a private location. For 3 nights and 4 days, participants will have the opportunity to have unlimited sex with two girls and swap girls with other sex seekers. The luxury price tag also includes sexual activities, including strip blackjack, Las Vegas and casino tours, presumably with clothes on, and swing volleyball. Not sure what that is.
I'm not sure what that is either.
Good Girls Company also says its girls are all STD free and offer on-site and immediate HIV and STD testing.
What about Rona testing?
Doesn't say anything about that. There's no Rona mention on the website. So Sex Island has returned. That's Father's Day weekend.
Yeah, I don't think my wife's going to let me
go. Somebody's catching something there. All right, so are we going to get Creighton on the last segment? If so, I need to get deaths in.
Yeah, he said he should be here in time.
Okay. All right, well, let's go ahead and do deaths. And let's go ahead and do deaths.
Let's go ahead and do deaths.
Conway Twitty, 1993, dead at the age of 59. Not a great run.
No, I'd prefer to go longer.
Dee Dee Ramone, one of the many dead Ramones now, heroin overdose at 51.
Also, not a great run, but pretty good run for a heroin user.
Yeah.
You make the 51 as a heroin user?
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. Are you familiar with Bushwick Bill?
Yes.
Died at 52 from pancreatic cancer. That was 2019.
H-Town Riffin.
Ray Charles. Dead at 73. That's a pretty good run.
Yeah.
All right.
You're not going to give it. He didn't see it coming? Or?
No, because I did that last week when you weren't here with Helen Keller.
Helen Keller.
She didn't see it or hear it coming, which is re-raising the didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
John Wooden in 2010 at the age of 99. I would call that a good run.
Wouldn't you like to get that last year, though?
Yeah, well, it's just... Okay. Dwight Clark, famous for the catch, dies at 61. He had ALS. That sucks. Here's another one for you. Kimbo Slice, 2016, dead at 42.
Yeah, that's definitely not a good run. And he almost died in the cage here in Houston, he and his opponent, which I'll never forget being at. I've been to, I don't know, probably 200 live MMA events. That will always go down as one of the most memorable. Not one of the best.
Yeah.
I mean, it was horrific.
Oh, it was a hard watch.
But it really was.
But you couldn't take your eyes off it either.
I will never forget those two guys fighting and then Royce and Ken fight. I mean, it's just a disaster of a card.
One of these guys is going to die right here in front of us. 1942, Reinhard Heydrich, German Nazi leader.
Nazi anymore.
Nazi. 1968, Robert F. Kennedy.
You mean Bobby?
Bobby. Shot by Sirhan Sirhan at the age of 42. Got it through his head. He wasn't one inch.
Oh.
Never mind. That's the wrong Kennedy. Alexander the Great was...
That's Robert Kennedy's nickname.
32 in 323 BC. Probably a good run for 323 BC. Plus, if you're the Great at something, you probably had a good life. So, I mean, it wasn't like Alexander the Average, Alexander the Mediocre. It's Alexander the Great. Alexander the Bill O'Brien. No, this is Alexander the Great. And then he wept, for there were no more worlds to conquer. Let's see. Okay, most of these sucks. Let's get to the best deaths. There's a lot of best deaths.
AJ would know a bunch of the criminals.
Yeah, well, I know a bunch of the criminals, but most people won't. And we don't have we got 3 minutes left in this segment. So this is one of the better groups of best deaths that we will have. June 5th, 2004. Ronald Reagan, dead at 93. I remember where I was. I was at the Belmont Stakes where Smarty Jones was going for the Triple Crown. And they came on and made the announcement like after about the third race. And when the track announcer came on and it sounded all somber, we thought Smarty Jones was being scratched.
Oh, no.
Yeah. He comes out, ladies and gentlemen, we have some very bad news. And then there's a pause. I'm like, they're going to scratch the horse. We all came here for nothing. Well, it turns out he lost and we went there for nothing. Anyway, but... Yeah, he said, well, Ronald Reagan has passed away. So, 1799, Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death. Well, at 63, guess what he got?
He got the death.
He got the latter. Muhammad, the Arabic prophet and founder of Islam, dies at around 62 in 632.
Okay.
1845, Andrew Jackson, 7th U.S. president, dead at the age of 78. Wow, has it already been 2 years since Anthony Bourdain died?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Wow, 61 years old. Charles Dickens, the English writer, dead at 58. Adam West, he's got actor from Batman and Last Prinsic. He was Batman. That don't even need Last Prinsic. Dies from leukemia at 88. I wonder if his young ward was there at his deathbed.
I would hope so. Or at least Alfred.
Yeah, well, Alfred... probably long gone by then.
Alfred never dies.
Well, that's true. John Gotti in 2002, dead at 61. And 2016, while Gretzky was the greatest, Gordie Howe will always be my favorite hockey player because I got to meet him when I was a kid and got a shooting lesson from him. Dead at 88 of a stroke. All right, here's your porn stars. 2005, Chloe Jones. Born and raised in Silsby, apparently. 29 years old. Died here in Houston. From?
Drug overdose.
Close enough. Liver failure due to alcohol and drug abuse at 29 years old.
Told you.
2005, Livia Choice. A German fetish model. Jawohl! 26 years old.
Murdered by a pimp.
Car crash.
Damn.
Oh, sorry. And that is your death.
Hey, your Toronto Blue Jays took Austin Martin, who most people thought was the second best prospect in the draft. They took him with the number 2 pick, or with the number 5 pick. They had the fifth pick, and they got the guy that everyone said was the second best guy.
So is he named after a car? Aston Martin?
No, it's Austin Martin.
Okay, just checking.
Better defensive prospect than Torkelson.
Well, it sounds more likely to succeed than a Torkelson.
Yeah. And with the fourth pick, the Kansas City Royals took Asa Lacy, a left-handed pitcher
from...
Nope, that is a left-handed pitcher from Texas A&M University.
Sounds like a porn star.
Congratulations, Aggie.
Yeah.
Hang the banner. Fourth pick.
Stop that. They don't hang banner. Well, maybe they do.
All right, I got to tell you guys about Hoops, ProDunkHoops.com. That's where you want to go if you want the best goal. And I can attest to it because there's one out in front of my house. And there was great consternation. I wasn't sure if I wanted a goal in front of my house because I didn't know what it would look like. And then I really looked into this ProDunk Hoops, and honestly, it looks even better than I thought it would. And they do such a great job with installation. They're doing safe installations now, and it looks amazing. And if you don't want all the kids from your neighborhood coming over to play, maybe don't consider this. But my kids love it. They're out there every day hooping it up. It's the best goal on the market. It's got a tempered glass backboard, the thickest steel of any goal on the market, a rust armor finish, and they've got a design to fit any home, driveway, backyard, or whatever. Adjustable from 10 feet to 5 feet with the turn of a handle. Get your new Hoops goal today. See it all at ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com. 281-351-9822.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, and we already did deaths because efforting Patrick Creighton. And here is Late Hits will be up next with those two guys, Patrick Creighton and Jason Braddock, both of whom, those guys do a good job. It was fun listening to Glenn Davis on the way home last night too. That's a cool thing about coming back, is I can actually, like, I don't like to listen to much before the show. I've been listening some to Josh just to get a feel for what's going on with the show. But for the most part, I don't like to listen to other people beforehand, because if they talk about something I wanted to talk about, I'm either going to go, oh man, I don't want to talk about it now. Or they might have a take about it that, you know, I go, oh, that's pretty good. Maybe, you know, so I'll credit people for that when I hear it. But I don't like to, in general, I don't like to do that. But I like to listen to, on the way home, to Jason and Patrick Creighton, who just stumbled in here, trying to be quiet. There's no reason.
I mean, you might as well just hurry up and get over here, Patrick.
Yeah, we're running out of time, and he wants to talk to you.
Yeah.
So just get your ass over here and quit, you know. Oh, let's be really quiet coming in the studio.
Yeah, they all know you're coming in. Otherwise, we would have already started the segment by talking to
you. Burping on air and throwing stuff all over the place here, and you're worried about the door.
Well, listen, as long as you're just burping on air, I mean, no big deal, right?
Yeah. So you on Monday had some things to say about one Joseph James Watt, and it didn't paint him in all that great of a light.
It's weird because JJ has a very carefully manicured and crafted image, and I think I don't know anybody who thinks that. Yeah, I haven't figured out how to make the thing go down yet, so.
That's an actual lever, but I'm not reaching up under your butt.
Yeah,
other side. Yeah,
I don't know where it is.
Yeah, right there.
Hey, look at that. Okay, works great.
Lever, that's a new one.
Lever, it's a lever. Oh, jeez, you fooler.
So because it's JJ, there's a little bit of shock value to it, because, I mean, I wouldn't have expected this type of thing from JJ either. I mean, JJ is the prince of the organization. Yeah, I've been talked about this, you know, for the last couple off seasons, of how, you know, it's agent malpractice. How do you let JJ Watt have non-guaranteed money in multiple years? His agent should be in there basically demanding guaranteed money. And I had been told, you know, the last couple off seasons, JJ is the prince of the organization. The McNair family will never do wrong by JJ Watt, period, the end. That's why I've always maintained he's essentially O'Brien proof.
But is him being the highest paid player on the team, is any other option besides that considered doing him wrong?
Well, this is the thing. You know, if you remember before Brian Gain got let go, he said he wanted to make J.D. Clowney the highest paid non-quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
And as they continued to negotiate back and forth right up until they couldn't, there was, you know, different numbers that got pushed back and forth. And JD was obviously looking for, you know, $20 million a year, and they weren't going to give it to him. But as we got down to August, and the reason it's interesting is because obviously in August, JD has to play on the tag at that point. But apparently JJ was already talking to the Texans. He wanted at least his money guaranteed. So not necessarily asking for a raise, but wanted his money guaranteed. Got wind of how much money they were supposedly discussing with J.D. Clowney. And they got indignant and said, hey, I'm worth more than that guy. If you pay this guy more than you're paying me, I want a raise. And just it's weird because you think about how long ago J.J. signed his contract. That, of course, his next deal, whatever that is, you know, but he essentially got his money. I mean, Aaron Donald signed since then. Von Miller signed since then. Other guys have signed since then who have gotten more money than JJ. Right. But he felt he should be the highest paid guy on the defense, and he deserved more money than Clowney. So he said, hey, look, if you give him more money, average annual value, than you're giving me, I'm going to demand a new deal.
And this was what year were we talking
this
about?
This is August 2019. So supposedly the
So this was coming off the first moderately healthy year that he'd had in three seasons.
Correct.
Okay.
So it was about August 8th that I was told is when JJ made his demand of, if you're going to pay him more, you better be paying me more. Well, 4 days later, we get the first float out in the public of J.D. Clowney for Laramie Tunsil in a third. It was 4 days.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just weird because we never see or hear or anything of JJ in any kind of negative light. And for him to pull the power play, look, he's earned a certain amount of influence for who he is. Just a really strange time for him to decide to exert that influence. And it put the Texans in the unenviable position of having to say no to JJ Watt, and they couldn't do it. Now, at the same time, as JJ is now negotiating or at least being entertained by the Texans for a new deal, well, DeAndre Hopkins, who's in the same boat as JJ Watt, multiple years on a deal, no guaranteed money, he catches, oh, they're talking to JJ? I want a seat at that table too. I play every game. You know, I carry the team.
Right.
I'm the best player at my position in the whole damn league. What about me?
Well, he's the best player on the team, period.
And the Texans basically gave him a hard no.
So the Texans, they ride a hard line with basically everybody except J.J. Watt,
except
is what it boils down
Watt.
To.
And it put them in the position of, if we pay J.D., we're going to have to repay J.J. And if we pay J.J., well, then how are we going to use our bogus, we only negotiate with people in the last year of their deal excuse on Hopkins? Because they would have obviously not done it with J.J., and it would have been the second time they'd not done it with J.J.
Well, I think Justin is the ego is not something that I don't think anybody. I guess I'm surprised that it spilled into the locker room. I think most of us know that. I always go back to the selfie thing. Who's that crappy Titans quarterback?
Zach Mettenberger.
LSU guy.
It's like he was making fun of him for taking selfies. Nobody selfied more in the next 2 years than J.J. Watt after that play.
Shirt on, shirt off.
So we've all known that he's kind of an ego guy, but I didn't know that it would get into, you know, other people's money. That's where it gets pretty interesting to me.
Right, because I mean, and it is across every sport. There is an unwritten rule among players: you never stick your hand in a teammate's pocket.
Right.
You know, you never talk about their contract negotiations, how much you think they should get, etc. That's why, you know, when you had guys on the Steelers talking about how much money Le'Veon Bell should or shouldn't get, it was a big deal because guys don't do that. So for JJ, and look, anybody who's really good or great at something, they have an ego. You're not great at anything and have no ego.
Thank you.
But it was just very, I don't want to say shocking, but surprising to me that JJ would go that route. Just because of who he is And he didn't need to play the me versus JD card. He could have just gone in and said, hey, I'm JJ Watt.
Right. Lamont asks, he says Patrick's story falls apart because JJ's not demanding money now, or at least we haven't heard anything. Why wouldn't he be demanding money now? I have kind of an answer for that, because now he's coming off a season where he missed half the year. At that time, he was in a position of strength because he'd had a great 2018 season after a 2016 and 17 season where he was a ghost. So suddenly it was like, hey, look, I'm still this guy. And then last year he had, he missed half the games last season.
And that's exactly it. He played the full season, and it's like he could go back to say, okay, look, I'm back, I'm healthy. He had the hammer. Last year, you know, he missed half the season, and while he did have a really big play in the Bills game, my memory of him against the Chiefs is standing there, hands on hips, sucking wind, looking totally gassed.
Yeah. Yep.
So he doesn't have the leverage this year, where last year he had all the hammers.
Has anybody else picked up on this same story that you're talking about? Has anyone else, corroborated this? Have they, has it gone beyond Houston?
I don't know that it's gone beyond Houston yet, but oddly enough, I did talk to two other people today who both corroborated the story. So this story, which started out with three people giving me info, is now five people giving me info from all different aspects of the league. I'm not going to say that it's not feasible. It's very feasible. I mean, we're not talking like, oh, hey, I got nude pictures of JJ Watt or something. This is JJ is very much just like every other player in the league. He's got an ego. He's sensitive to how much money he gets. There's rivalries in the locker room. These are things that go on every player, every team. But because it's JJ and everybody looks of him as Wonder Boy and he could never do anything wrong, I think that's why people have this, no, that can't be right. It's JJ Watt. He would never. He's mommy's good boy. And look, he's a dude just like everybody else.
Yeah. Well, interesting stuff either way. What do you guys have planned on the show tonight?
Well, we're going to get into some stuff with Deshaun Watson's contract, the Rockets. Do we think the Rockets
I know what you guys are going to say about the Rockets.
Well, you don't James know what
Harden's
I'm going to say this time.
James underappreciated.
Actually, it was going to be.
James Harden's the best. James Harden.
He's pretty good.
Let me open my mouth for you, James.
That's only for Nolan Ryan sausage.
Oh. James.
But the Rockets.
James Harden is the. I mean, no one's doing this. James Harden is doing things that Michael Jordan didn't do. I can't do a good Braddock.
I gotta tell you, it's not false.
Well, he's doing some things that. He's not doing some things that Jordan did too. How about that?
That's also true.
Yeah,
that's also true. They can both be true at the same time.
Yeah.
But the Rocks talking about, you know, are they going to have a different rotation going in here as to what they were before? Now you're going to have 3 weeks of training camp. Guys' jobs might change.
Yeah.
So there's a few things we'll get to tonight. And, of course, if people want to talk more about J.J. Watt and J.D. Clowney and DeAndre Hopkins, we'll certainly entertain that as well.
All right. Patrick Crate and Jason Braddock, Late Hits coming up next.
And that will wrap us up. Good job, Aaron. Good job, AJ.
Hey, Fred, it's been real.
Patrick, thanks for dropping in.
Appreciate you having me join you.
And you'll still be here. The rest of us are out. Until tomorrow, stay Rona free, bitches.
Lay it down. Lay it down and softly whisper. Pretty love.
ESPN 97.5.